Welcome to Get Real with Dr. Ronay, Doctor of Clinical Psychology and Trauma Specialist. Dr. Ronay Calvert is Executive Director of Live Treatment Concierge Services. Live Treatment provides a unique wraparound approach of concierge services in person and virtually, specifically tailored to each client with a level of effectiveness that transcends any other program. In her daily experience of guiding clients to recovery and emotional freedom, Dr. Ronay Calvert gets real to shed light on subjects that have remained in the shadows with courage and compassion. Joined by Bindi Height, international spiritual coach and mentor from Ethical Change Agency, with the mission to inspire change makers and holistic healers to create collective change to make the world a better place through the power of human connection, purpose, and podcasts. It's time to get real. Hey, Ronay.
Hey, Bindi.
I have another special guest for you today. His name is Kingsley Moyo. He's coming to us all the way from Edmonton in Canada. He's a relationship and sex therapist that works with individuals and couples who feel stuck and need more in life. He works within a framework of helping individuals and couples heal from relationship wounds and exploring any family of origin issues that have followed along the way. His counselling work is trauma-informed and with anti-oppression agenda, and his passion is getting individuals and couples who feel hopeless and need more in life. Welcome, Kingsley.
Thank you, Bindi. Thank you for having me. Thank you, Dr. Ronay, for having me. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Moyo, for being here. We're so excited to have you. I am so impressed by the work that you do and the passion that you have for your work. And I'm really excited to hear about your approach and the reason why you began this journey into doing the work that you do. What was your calling?
Yeah, that's been long in the making. It really started off with the family as the core of any community. If relationships in the family are broken, it means productivity at work is messed up. It means that academic pursuits are messed up. Children development is messed up. So if we really wanted to go back and then kind of work this thing backwards, we would need to go back to where it starts. So in the home. So that was the family unit. And I thought to myself, okay, where do you impact the most? And then it became on the parental level. So from the parental level, that's where my passion began to grow. How do you help couples really, really, really zone in on some of the challenges that they're facing? And one of the things that really stuck out for me was sex. Sex is an integral part of who we are. We are sexual beings. No life, no experience, no journey, no nothing can be isolated on its own without having to have sex included in there. And of course, I love sex.
amen to that. I recently had a baby shower that I hosted. And one of the questions that was asked as a bonus question, round, was what advice would you offer the new mother? And the advice that I had to offer was, do not forget that you are lovers and partners first. You are parents. You are mommy and daddy. But do not lose the passion that brought this new life into the world. And if you have the choice between being exhausted and cooking, order in and make love on the kitchen counter. That was honest to God my advice. I believe that it's so easy to, at least for me and the clients that I've seen, we can get trapped in whatever title we give ourselves, not just as parents, but, you know, workers among workers, you know, whatever it is, we can just kind of lose touch with ourselves. And what I think is so important about the work that you do, as you said, it begins with the family unit, is we really can't heal ourselves from relationship wounds outside of relationships. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah. There's a tagline that I use quite a lot when I have conversation, whatever I do, workshops, seminars. Relationships shape our identity.
Mm-hmm.
This idea sometimes that I hear quite often that I don't need anybody. I need my time. I need to be alone. But we're communal beings. We're relational beings. We heal in community. And I think there's some significant depth that possibly we have lost in trying to isolate somebody to be on their own and say, go get your healing all alone. I'm on this journey on my own. But you forget that there's a brother, there's a cousin, there's an intimate partner. All of these pour into your lives. I'm with you on that, Renee. I'm with you.
Yeah, I really think that, you know, being, you know, communication, connection, really, with other human beings. It's not about being perfect. It's about being connected. And I think connection and communication are integral to basically everything we do and every relationship we have. And I've seen so many clients, I've walked so many clients through the idea of who they are in relationship. And I asked them when their last, you know, intimate relationship was, and they say, well, it ended terribly. It was 5 years ago. And I say, well, how the hell are you supposed to know who you are in relationship now? Because you can't look in the mirror and have a relationship with, you can't, obviously the most important relationship we have is with ourselves, but we can't really know how we show up or how we are seen in the world or what we can contribute or what someone else can contribute to our lives unless we are actually interacting and allowing ourselves to grow within a relationship.
Yeah. And I just want to speak to somebody possibly is listening and thinking, I was hurt in a relationship. Why are you, Renee and Kingsley, trying to tell me to go back into a relationship? I mean, we want to acknowledge that there is harm. Stay away from harm. If you have been abused, sexually abused, physically abused, whatever kind of abuse that you have had in the past. In fact, if you're having it right now, get out and go get help. And I think
absolutely. Thank you for saying that. Yes.
Yeah. Go out and go get help. And so while we still say that go in into a relationship, it doesn't necessarily have to be an intimate relationship. Could be a friend, could be your mom, could be your brother, could be whoever. That's still a relationship that gives you something.
That's right.
So Kingsley,
that's right.
I want to ask, how do you know when you need a sex therapist? And what do you actually do with people when they're in therapy to talk about sex?
It's interesting, Bean, do you ask that question? Because I get several calls, people calling me and saying, I didn't see a catalog of who I choose. And sometimes I'm listening to the call and I'm talking with them. I'm getting the sense that, no. So they're asking me, so what's your pricing scale? What's your catalog? And I'm like, no, it's not that kind of sex therapy. This is not sex surrogate. It is sex therapy. Sex therapy is talk therapy, if you want to put it. How do you know? Let's start with that. How do you know you need sex therapy? There are really three indicators that one needs to pay attention to. If you're beginning to feel discomfort, if you're beginning to feel resentment, and if you begin to feel shame or guilt around the word sex or sexuality, it means that you need to go talk to a sex therapist.
I love that. I agree with that 1,000%. And I think that it's such a concise and precise way of someone being able to identify what they need and why they need it without shame.
Yeah. And sometimes people tend to think that, I only need sex therapy when there is a problem. No.
Mm.
If you want to move on to 2.0 sex in your life, 3.0 sex in your life, it's okay. Come see a sex therapist. We can talk and polish up a few things here and there. Think about it. When you buy a new car, you always take it in for an oil change. Is it broken? No.
Mm.
You want to keep running smooth. What about the relationship? What about sex?
And what does sex 3.0 look like?
that's going to be really sex is defined by the people inside. One of the interesting things is when you come and you sit down with me, I don't tell you how to have sex, what positions to have and all that stuff. No, I work with your goals. And while I work with your goals, I open up your eyes to see, hey, that goal could be moved a little bit beyond what you were thinking. I like it when people get to those aha moments, like, ah, we didn't really think about that. So those are some of the things you want to do, the discomfort, the resentment, guilt or shame. And when you come in for sex therapy, Bindi, 60 to 70% of the stuff that we're dealing with is psychological. 30 to 40% is physiological, where the body parts are not working and all that stuff. And usually for that, I collaborate. I can't do everything. There's medical experts, urologist, OBGY, oncologist, if cancer has been involved. Renee is a trauma specialist. There's depth that you can go and get in there. So those are the two sides that I do. Obviously, I have to get an assessment. Let's find out what has been your sex life been? What have you been up to? What have you tried? What haven't you tried? Really assess your relationship to your body. It's interesting. The easiest question you could ask is around sex is, when you stand in front of a mirror, what do you see? You'd be surprised the questions that you hear. Talk about masturbation. When you masturbate, what is it like? What do you feel after that? Disgust? What is it that you feel? So it's an assessment of your relationship to sex with your body. It's huge, but those are some of the things that we can begin to get in there to kind of pull it apart.
So starting with the self.
That's so essential because, I mean, if you have shame or disgust around self-love, right? Because masturbation is a form of self-love. It really is. And if you have disgust about that, then to share that with a partner is, you know, my God, the level of vulnerability that that takes and the resentment that you may feel, or the guilt that you may feel, and the different ways that may act itself out within the relationship. And when I heard you say, you know, I look forward to, and I'm paraphrasing now, that aha moment, I feel like for me, it's like you move people to from aha to you know, I mean, honestly,
I couldn't have put it better, Renee.
You know,
I'm gonna steal that one.
That's the whole idea, right? It's like there's aha, and then there's oh yeah, baby. You know, yeah. And that's the idea for me. That's the 3.0, right? Just when you go from the aha moment that opens up to the oh yeah moment, you know.
And I think. So 2.0 is aha moment. 3.0 is aha.
Yeah. That's the 2.0. I got it now. Thank you. Thank you for that clarification.
That was a duo right there that you just saw, just so you know.
Life is complete.
But you know, I think that, you know, one of the things I would want to ask you, Kingsley, is, you know, there's such a way of defining problems within oneself, right? Like, you know, for married couples, especially parents, maybe not even parents, people who have whatever backgrounds they have, they don't have to be traumatized. It can be just their own belief system around sex. It can be whatever, you know, it goes from everything to the, I mean, I remember back in the day, we're going way back now, to like, you know, don't have sex before the third date or you're a slut, kind of a thing, you know? There's all of these kind of rules and regulations that are placed around sex. And I feel like so many of us, and I say us because I really feel like as human beings, that's really where we connect with our clients, is understanding that we're human too, is that we are always faced with these kinds of like parameters that we're supposed to live up to, you know, these ideals that we're supposed to live up to. Like if you're not having sex this many times a week, there's something wrong with your relationship, you know? And I feel like, you know, for me, you know, working with trauma, working with the type of clients that I work with, I feel like it's so important for them to define what feels right to them. How do you handle that from a sexual perspective? I mean, when someone comes to you and says, you know, for me, sex is, I want to have sex 3 times a day, and that you have their partner, and their partner's like, I do not, you know, how do you kind of, I mean, that's a relationship question. We're really talking about more than sex here. We're talking about the way that someone defines intimacy and connection. And it may look very different for each person in the relationship. So can you kind of give maybe even an example of without, of course, in total confidentiality, but how do you walk somebody through understanding what their normal is, or that what they consider their goal for sex or their goal for intimacy and relationship is acceptable, not only acceptable, but is to be acknowledged, revered, and respected by, you know, validated. Mm-hmm. How do you work with that?
Yeah, it's a common thing. And mismatched couple desires is something that I really work with a lot. And stereotyping a little bit, you would generally find that men have a higher sex drive than women. But now with the sexual revolution, where we are discovering that women as well can have a higher sex drive, they can enjoy sex much more. There is this equilibrium that is being reached now, whereby we are all capable and able to be able to experience sex the same way. One of the words that you used, and I use that quite a bit in my sessions, normal. I normalize sex talk. I normalize your desire to have sex multiple times. I normalize, because what happens is when a couple is like that, the other partner will tend to shame the other partner in order to behaving right by giving them sex. And the other partner would shame the other partner for desiring so much sex in order to get the result they desire of having them reduce their desire of sex. Mm-hmm. So right there, the other person is saying, you are wrong, you are wrong. So I started by beginning to say, hey, let's normalize this thing. If y'all thirsty, that's okay. You're thirsty. Keep wanting your 3 times. You are fine like that. But if you don't want it that much, that's okay too. Then I like to take some steps back. I take a systematic approach in all of these issues. I usually tell my couples, when you come into this room, your grandma, your uncles, everybody, your school teacher, your siblings, your whole family is sitting in here. Because I believe in that statement, relationships shape your identity. Whatever you learned about sex came from somewhere. Your family of origin tends to be the one that pours into that. And then we start looking at limiting beliefs. The person who does not want a lot of sex, what is the limiting belief? Am I too fat? Am I unlovable? Am I undesirable? What is it exactly that's going on? Is it stress at work? What's really happening for them? I'm not even talking about the organs penetrating each other.
No. You're talking about the person.
Yeah,
you're talking about the person, the barriers that stand in their way that are their own barriers, their own beliefs about themselves. I relate so heavily to that, being a woman in recovery from eating disorder. You know, I my intimacy was so based on, for a long time, a sexual partner of mine might have felt that they were not desired. It was not that. It was that I did not consider myself desirable enough to expose myself. Mm-hmm. And they're looking at me going, oh my God, if you're just, can you please take off your clothes, you know? And I'm looking at myself going, what the heck? I don't even want to look at myself in the mirror. How would I want to expose myself to you?
And that was real for you. It was so real. And
so
there was
real
pain around that. And I would imagine somebody probably dismissed that, and it made you even hide away. And all of that, actually, it's like a domino effect. With all of those limiting beliefs that are present there, you'll begin to realize there's erectile dysfunction, low desire, no orgasms, pain during sex. You probably have dealt this from a trauma standpoint, vaginismus, yeah. We call it in this fancy yeah. term, but it's really painful sex. And even so on, that's when we begin to say, okay, now we begin to work with the organs, penetrating, rubbing. Before we even go there, as I mentioned, that 70-30, that 60-40 split is really what's at the core. And I've discovered this. Many couples, their goal for sex is either pregnancy or orgasm. Mm. And by doing that, they miss the full picture and the richness of sex. The goal of sex is pleasure.
Ah, oh, I love pleasure. That.
And that's where we get to the aha, the 3.0. Yeah. Because if you, the goal is orgasm and you have a partner who reaches orgasm faster, the other one is frustrated. Or if you have a partner who has a low desire, they never reach orgasm, or if you have erectile dysfunction, it's just going to be a mess. But if we say it's pleasure, the organs don't need to penetrate. They could just rub and there can be pleasure. There could be just play and there could be pleasure. So that's how I generally work with couples. I know people are coming and saying sex therapy, we're going to be talking about sex all through and through. No, I'm talking about your grandma. I'm talking about your mom. I'm talking about your dad. Do you even know that your parents had sex? Was it a mystery? Was it normalized? What is it like for you? How did you learn about sex? So that's generally how I approach it. And that's no one way size. There's no one size that fits all, but overly I weave through using some of these things.
I love that you say that the end goal is always pleasure, because if it's not, that's where the anxiety comes in, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Performance. I gotta perform. I gotta last this long. And by the way, newsflash for men, if you are lasting anywhere between 5 to 7 minutes, you are among the normal men. You don't need to last 50 minutes or 40 minutes or 30 minutes. You are among the normal men. And by the way, for those that are out there, your penis does not need to be huge and long in order for you to pleasure your partner. No, it is the girth that actually makes a difference. Let me liberate somebody.
Newsflash.
I so appreciate you saying that. I'm actually, you know, I don't even know where this is coming from, to be honest with you. But, you know, when you just said, you know, the goal of sex is pleasure, I found myself just tearing up, thinking about the number of people, including myself at a younger age, you know, a much younger me, that was so misinformed, that carried so much generational trauma along with me, that, you know, it was supposed to look a certain way, or, you know, whatever. And when you say your grandma's in the room, your school teacher's in the room, whatever the case may be. I can't remember what movie it was, but there was an actual movie about intimacy and sex. And they actually showed like the different people in the bed with the couple. And it was so interesting to me, because I pictured that just now as you were talking. And in my mind, you know, I have had to eradicate so many horrible messages about sex and sensuality that did not belong to me, about my own body that didn't belong to me. And that, I think, is such a pivotal point in the work that I do, is that I would never ask somebody to walk through something for the sake of, hey, work on yourself so that you can come out the other side realizing everything that's wrong about you. It's work on yourself so you can realize everything that's right about you. And when you say about, you know, that sex is about pleasure, there are so many couples or even single people that I work with that miss that point, that feel like if they can't bring their partner to climax, regardless of what issue the partner may have, physically, psychologically, whatever, they take that on and they own that as their own. And they're missing the point entirely, that the idea of sex and sensuality and intimacy is connection, but it's also that it be pleasurable. So if you've got yourself in a state of anxiety, whether it's pregnancy or orgasm, whatever it may be, you know, then it's I orgasmed too quickly. I didn't orgasm quickly enough, you know, and I can't speak on behalf of other, you know, mostly heterosexual women out there. But if a man were to last 60 minutes, I think I'd die. I think I would just have to call it quits at a certain point and just say, you know what, babe? Whatever you need to do for you is cool. Let's just take care of you right now, because at this point it's painful, and that's not, you know, that's not the goal. But I think that so many people miss the goal, that they'll just keep going at something even if it is painful, because they think that the goal is I need to do something that results in this conclusion, whatever this conclusion is, and they miss the whole joy of the process, right? Yeah. It's the journey, not the destination, you know? Yeah. And I feel like once people, you know, I've heard over and over again from people, I'm not sure, you know, it's kind of like old wives' tales in a way. There's no scientific proof of this, right? But I've heard over and over again and experienced in my own relationship with clients and close friends of mine that they've been trying to get pregnant forever, and they just had all this pressure on themselves. That's what they were supposed to do. And the minute that they stopped, they were just like, you know what? I don't think it's in the cards for us.
Yes.
They make love and they get pregnant.
Yeah.
And it's so amazing because you can see the mind-body connection and how you actually block yourself, how that anxiety that you carry, how that trauma that you carry, how that belief system that you carry actually blocks your goals from becoming true, instead of just allowing it to become a natural process.
And I think you can speak more to this, Renee. Sometimes when we go through sex because we have been taught or we have learned it from social media or improper education, we don't realize that we are traumatizing ourselves over and over by being in positions or doing sex even when we're not in the right space. When you are having sex, when you're in a position or in a place of anxiety where the goal is just orgasm, you're going, and maybe it's delayed ejaculation for somebody, and they're going and going and going, they are no longer in the pleasure mode. They are in their head. They are not even looking at, for the heterosexual couple, they are not even looking at their partner, or for a gay couple, they are not even looking at their partner. They're in their head. They're just looking at their penis and say, okay, am I going to ejaculate? When is it going to ejaculate? Imagine that happening over and over and over and over. Now, if the partner says or makes initiation to have sex, they run away. Because the whole idea of having sex is traumatic. Mm-hmm. And people don't even realize that.
And they don't even realize that that's not even the goal that their partner may have for them. But that's the goal that they set up for themselves.
Pleasure, people. Pleasure. Pleasure is what we're after. Pleasure. Pleasure. If we pause for a moment and say, let's have pleasure, it transforms your sex life.
Mm. And one of the things that we were talking about earlier was the difference between intimacy and sex, and that true connection there to pleasure and to each other is really that journey that you would take people on. Am I right?
Yeah. It's a good way of even packaging it, sex and intimacy, because sometimes people tend to think that one replaces the other. It's not the case. You can be intimate with your partner without having to have the sex. And here's the interesting thing that I've discovered in doing workshops. One of the workshops I do is the Gottman 7 Principles of Making Marriage Work. I'm a certified workshop on that. And in one of those workshops, when I do them, I ask couples to look at each other. And then I ask them to ask each other this question: what is sex? And then before they ask that question, I say, have you asked each other that question? I kid you not, all the time, 90% of the time, they look at each other and say, hey, we have never asked each other what is sex. They've just assumed what sex is. But there's 7+ billion people. We are all unique and different. We think differently and approach things differently. That part of having to sit down and have the conversation, what is sex for you? Well, when you come and kiss me on the neck, or well, when you take my panties and you do this with them, or when you take me on the kitchen counter, or when we go and we do all these things, that's part of the intimacy, the conversation where you look into each other. The Gottmans like to call it making emotional deposits into the bank account, where you're depositing things into the other person, depositing. So that's the intimacy part, where you're really connecting beyond rubbing the breasts, beyond rubbing the penis, beyond rubbing the clitoris. Beyond that, you're just there.
Well, and how often is it so much more difficult to speak about than it is to do, right? We carry on these actions, and it's so much harder to ask and to talk about than it is to do it. And we just go into action mode, and it's like, man, we are missing the point.
The limiting beliefs really come in there. And our normal is based on what we grew up with at home. Think about it. Let's just say a couple is getting married. One is 25 and one is 27 years, which means that for 25 years, they have lived with a certain kind of normal. And another person has lived with a certain kind of normal for 27 years. They come together. Whose normal are they going to follow? It's a conflict. And guess what? Some of the normals that we have from our family of origin is a dysfunctional kind of normal. We want to bring it in, and it's dysfunctional thought process around sex. We won't even talk about sex, or there's shame around sex and there's trauma around sex. We know that with sexual abuse, 95% of the time, the sex offender is somebody whom you know, a close friend person. And these are people that are carrying trauma from their uncles and from their parents, and they've carried it and never talked about it. Mm-hmm. The shame. Now they're in this relationship, they're trying to figure out, why isn't this sex working?
Because they're bringing their uncle to bed with them. You know?
Yeah.
You know, literally, that voice in their head, you know, the things that we carry generationally that don't belong to us. The messages that we were taught from people who are traumatized in their own ways, and we don't even realize that we've been traumatized, even in hearing about the ways that our parents or grandparents' sex lives went, or what was talked about, what was taboo.
Do you even know they exist? We only know that babies came, but how those babies came, we don't know.
I mean, for me personally, I didn't really learn the truth about so many things in my life until I was of a certain age. And before then, it was kind of like babies just came from the stork. You know what I mean? And I got the talk, don't get me wrong, but I did. I was like, I have a wonderful mother, and she's amazing and glorious in so many ways. And she would have very, very prominent conversations with me. But when it came down to things that were uncomfortable or things that she hadn't experienced herself, it was kind of one of those things where it was just like, you'll know.
And that's it.
And I think that that's it. There's a truth to that you will know. And not basing my experience off of her own experience, right? But there's also a certain taboo that we carry that's passed on generationally, you know, that if a woman has a very high sex drive, stereotypically. There are so many different ways in which we find to judge ourselves, you know, and there are so many different ways in which, you know, our relationship with ourselves translates into our relationship with another partner. And we don't realize we bring ourselves with us wherever we go. So we're not even asking the right questions because we're afraid to find out the answers. Yeah. You know,
and sometimes we don't even know the questions to ask.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is why I love the idea of you having partners look at each other and say, what is sex to you? You know, that's what is sex?
That is really the beginning, Bindi, of talking about intimacy without having to deal with the penetrative portion side of things. Intimacy is really being able to connect, knowing your partner's inner world, their hopes and their worries. So when you come to the bed, or if it's on the couch, in the car, wherever y'all have sex, wherever it is you have sex, you already know their spots. You know what will trigger them, what will not trigger them. You know how to touch them to get them to 3.0.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And you can't do that unless you get mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, and childhood teacher out of the bedroom or the car or the kitchen counter. You know, we have to evict some people.
Yeah.
So we can make some room, you know.
Living rent free.
Yeah, exactly. They're living rent free and they're actually, you know, they're blocking what would be normal intimacy or, you know, sexuality. You know, my God, how many billboards do we see? How many things come in through my spam about, you know, Viagra and this and that and the other thing? And I'm not saying it's something that somebody shouldn't use. I'm not saying whatever. There's nothing to say that somebody who needs that shouldn't utilize that. But the idea of somebody having the desire to last 8 hours, have they asked their partner whether or not they want to be made love to for 8 hours? Is that even making love?
Love? Yeah.
For 8 hours? Because honest to God, if someone's penetrating you for 8 hours straight, I, if that's your thing, I welcome it. I, you know, there's no, I'm not shaming you, whatever. Yeah. You're a better woman, man, person than I am. Cause if you can go through 8 hours of penetration nonstop, you deserve a gold medal of some kind. Okay. So the idea that somebody should need an erection that lasts 8 hours is something that I think really speaks to these really, really arbitrary goals that we set up for ourselves. Like, this is what it means to be a man. This is what it means to pleasure your woman. Mm-hmm. This or your partner is to have an 8 hour long erection.
Yeah.
Does somebody want you to have an 8 hour long erection? Or do they really, would they really rather you kiss them all over their body in a way that is so intimate, that is so much more pleasuring to them than penetration? Have you asked them? You know, and again, this gets down to conversation and communication. I think communication around sex and intimacy, it's one of those things where it's so easy, so much easier to do than it is to talk about. I mean, so many of my clients have had so many sexual partners and cannot openly talk about what it is that they did or what they desired. You can just see it in the way that they talk about it. There's like this secrecy and shame that they carry, even in talking about it with me. It's like, you know, yeah, you know, we did it. Or yeah, we, you know, and I'm like, did it? It? Well, what are you talking about? You know, and I point it out to them because I think it's important.
Normalize. How
the language is used, you know, it the language around it is so essential because that's what they're downloading from this experience that they've had with their partner, their sexual partner is, you know, yeah, we did it. We did it. Did what? You know, were you happy? Did you feel comfortable? Did you feel, you know, and I feel like, and maybe you'll disagree with me, but I feel like if you can't talk about it, then the act of doing it is probably not going to be very progressive.
Yeah, there is that piece. And I want to acknowledge that there are some people who have not been educated on how to talk about it. They don't even how to. And I've seen this even working with couples, because I use Gottman and emotionally focused couples therapy. The Gottman is a little bit structured. It'll give you questions to flow. The emotional focus one, it just flows. For some people coming into therapy and getting them to talk, they don't have words. So the Gottman is a tool I would use for them. And then for those who are saying, we don't want papers, we just want to engage, I weave into this other one. And all of them are good modalities. They have 40 plus years of research. So people haven't been taught, and some people are very structured and some people are not structured. And that's why the work, this podcast, the work that you're doing, getting this information out, it's crucial. Somebody will hear something and not hear something. They'll walk away with something. Guess what? Somebody's going to ask their partner, what is sex?
That's right.
And they'll discover that whatever they were doing was not sex. So it wasn't even reaching what they were desiring. And the whole idea of going through the motions over and over and over and over, they didn't realize that can be traumatic. And guess what? Come and see Dr. Renee. That may be traumatic for you because you're doing something over and over. And therefore, now sex is not pleasurable.
That's exactly right.
So how do you help people identify, you know, those people that are still in the bedroom, like the grandparents, the uncles, the teachers? How do you help them identify that they're potentially the root of a problem that they're experiencing?
I do it indirectly. I take an A4 sheet size paper, put it in portrait landscape, divide it into three boxes. On each section, put a heading at the top. First heading is, I want you to write down the messages you received about love when you were growing up as a child. Secondly, the messages you received about self-worth growing up as a child. And the last one would be the messages you received about money. You'd be surprising what money can reveal about you when you're
desired. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So as they begin to fill in this information, they'll begin to realize a whole lot of that stuff is showing up in their life right now. They'll begin to realize that stuff is showing up in their bedroom. And that is the 2.0, the aha moment. Ah, I didn't know that. I didn't know this is why this was happening for them. And really, I tell people that, you know what? I'm going to take you to the mountain, but I'm not going to put you on my back and carry you up the mountain. You're going to do the work. So I'll walk you through. So for me,
Sherpa.
There you go. So for me, I'll take them to the base and them realizing that. And now the work is going to be them to say, hey, you know what? I see this showing up. And so when that, the shortest path to enjoying your sex life is understanding yourself. If you don't understand yourself, you won't enjoy your sex life.
Mm.
So once they begin to understand yourself, then it is a domino effect. As I mentioned earlier on, sex is an integral part of who we are. It tells us about relationship to our bodies, our self-confidence, a whole lot of things. So those are some of the tools that I use among many other things, depending if I'm doing a workshop or if I'm sitting with you or a video. Of course, if it's a video, it's a different one. If you're in the room, I tend to be animated as a therapist sometimes. I get up and move around and do this and that, and I'm just weird in a therapy room.
Sounds like my kind of therapy. Sign me up.
Mine too. I mean, you know, there's nothing worse than a boring therapist, you know?
Yeah.
You know, Dr. Moyo, I have to ask you, you know, how do people, you have such a special gift. And aside of being an affiliate of mine, a colleague of mine that I intend to work with for a long time to come, how do people get in contact with you? What's the best modality for them to reach you? Because what you have to offer is so integral, not to just relationships, but to people's relationships with themselves, which I think honestly is the first and foremost foundational brick to building any foundation of relationship. If you don't know self-love, you can't possibly describe or know what that feels like to another.
Right. You can find me online. We're in the digital space. On Instagram, Life Collective Counseling, as in Life Collective Counseling. For the American folks, it's counseling with two L's. For the British folks, you are okay. Stay with the two L's. I know the American folks use one L. So Life Collective Counseling on Instagram. My website as well is lifecollectivecounseling.com. You can find me there. There's a contact page. Professionals can connect with me on LinkedIn. Just look for me, Kingsley Moyer. I'm right there. You can find me there. Those are the digital spaces that
I'm about to add you to an affiliate on the website for Live Treatment, where they can find you there as well, because I can't think of a better gift to give to somebody than what you've just walked me through, from the aha to the oh yeah. I want everybody to experience that. And that the goal of sexuality and intimacy is passion. And that to me is my takeaway moment. I'm so grateful to have met you and to hear the very compassionate, individualistic way in which you deal with each person. But that your holistic view is so profound and so aligned with someone understanding themselves and being able to shed layers of shame and generational trauma that does not belong to them, so that they can carve away their identity, not just sexually, but as beings in the world. So I thank you for all that you've shared today. I am so grateful to have met your acquaintance and to call you a very, very respected colleague.
And Kingsley, I have spoken to several sex therapists and coaches, and what you share is so practical and so functional and is so usable and, blew all the others out of the water, to be honest with you. One of the things we love to do on the show is share the gift of music as well. And each episode we build on our playlist on Spotify, where you can find that by searching Get Real with Dr. Ronay. And for this episode, Kingsley, what's your song?
Oh, I have a fitting song.
Yeah, you do.
Salt and Paper, Let's Take It Back. Let's talk about sex, baby.
Yeah.
Let's talk about you and me. All the good things. that would be my Spotify track that resonates. Let's talk about it. Let's normalize. We all are doing it.
I tell you what, when I make love tonight, that'll be my soundtrack.
Set the mood. That's your foreplay.
There you go. There you go. No offense taken, but I'll be thinking of you in the background. The goal here is passion. And let's take it back.
And Ronay, your song?
Oh my God. What could be better than the friggin' amazing Marvin Gaye, Sexual Healing? I mean, if you can't feel healed by that,
well,
holy crap. But honestly, listen to that and then book a session with Kingsley. if nothing inspires you to do that, that song will.
Absolutely. And my song for this episode is from Boys to Men, I'll Make Love to You.
Right.
So jump on Spotify and search for Get Real with Dr. Ronay. And the meditation for this episode is Find Your Joy. You'll find that one on Insight Timer. Thanks for getting real with us, Dr. Ronay.
Oh, you're so welcome. And I cannot wait to listen to our own soundtrack tonight while I make love.
Thank you so much, Bindi. Thank you, Donna Renee. This was an awesome and a pleasure to be here. I really enjoyed it. It's an honor and a privilege to have colleagues that we could affiliate and create a network where we can give back and create sexual healing.
Thank you for tuning in to Get Real with Dr. Ronay. If you've loved the show and would like to experience coaching with coaches like Dr. Renee or Bindi through Live Treatment Concierge Services, visit livetreatmentvip.com.